Hello there.
Hey, Curtis, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Good, thank you.
All right. So we're getting ready to get into what I think is the fun part of and acquiring new clients and new relationships.
Okay.
Before I get started with today's agenda, anything on your mind about where we are to date? Any questions? Anything happening unusually?
No, we're getting people scheduled. We're starting to get the feel of this, so we're in pretty good shape.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Well, we're into week 9, which for the most part, we get into the pipeline techniques for acquisition. And so the acquisition strategy is based, obviously, on continuing to grow relationships. So we're trying to limit the number of clients to a maximum of 100, and every client is now going to be scheduled with a monthly contact. So the acquisition model has a simple formula: 90, 6, and then 4, 2, and then 2, and 1. Okay, so let's explain that formula. 90 is the number of prospects that you would have in the pipeline. That's a maximum number. You would have 6 centers of influence. You would have a 4-member mastermind group, 2 niche markets that you're focused on, 2 community boards, and then your social media and networking strategy. You educate your COIs so that they can describe your service model. Okay? So you can articulate the service model. Now they have to be able to do it. Okay? And you gotta do a practice drill rehearse with them to make sure that they are competent in describing your service model. And they then become advocates for your practice. Okay, let me take a breather. Any questions on any of that so far?
Nope. No, we're good, Curtis.
Okay, so what you want to do is make sure that the prospects that you have in the pipeline are qualified, that they meet your target minimums. So, yeah, and also, you know, how long on average when you get a personal introduction does it take you to close a prospect? And how often do you meet with them on a regular basis? Okay, and how do you reintroduce yourself with the new service model? So with prospects, and one of the reasons we spent so much time on freeing up your time, getting organized, is so that you have the time to spend with prospects. So they get scheduled and put on your calendar, just like your clients, your COIs. They also get a folder. So let's go through the formula for a moment and just look at what the potential could be. If you had 100 clients, give you 6 introductions per year, that would be 600 potential prospects. Okay? Now, because we've spent all this time reorient your progress, your prospects or your clients, and we got your service model honed in, you're working 12-4-2, now they're apt to give you personal introductions. And you really have to work those. If your 6 COIs who now have become trained give you 12 introductions per year, that's 60 potential prospects. And if you have a 4-member mastermind group that provide 8 introductions per year, that's 32 potential prospects. Okay.
Okay.
And if you have 2 concentrated niche markets that concentrate on a demographic and you're able to pull 10 introductions a year out of that, that's 20 potential prospects. And if you are serving on 2 nonprofit boards and you are getting 5 introductions per year, then you are getting 5 potential prospects built around your reputation in the community. That should, if it's worked to the max, you should generate 90 new clients. And what we're trying to do based on the goals that we've established is less than half that number. We're trying to get 3 new relationships per month. That's our target.
Right.
And make sure that you can hit your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you look at the resources for growth and you're putting all of the personal introductions together, it can be an outstanding way during that to think about growing your business. So what do you think about that so far?
It's a lot. it's something that, I think potentially it's huge. We're working on getting a 6 COIs. We've got 2, the concept, yes, I get. Totally.
Okay.
Yep.
So now let's say you start off and you've only targeted 20 clients that can give you 6 introductions. That's still 120 prospects.
Right.
And if you have 2 COIs that give you just 12 introductions, that's 24. So what you have to do is think about these resources for growth. You're going to have to stage them in. You can't necessarily do them all at the same time.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now you should probably be working 2, possibly 3 out of the 5.
Okay.
They should be works in progress, because this is really going to create the growth in the business. If getting you really, really organized, systematic, you have a process, I like all that. But I personally wouldn't be happy if I didn't fulfill your opportunity to grow your practice. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's break some of these things down into some more component parts. So let's look at the mastermind group for a moment. And, the mastermind group are like-minded people that want to grow their practices or business. And so they've got to be what makes up these folks are, they could come from CPAs, they could come from attorneys, they could come from, the guy who runs the chamber. But they are folks that are interested in growth. And it's a mutual support society. So they're interested in seeing you grow because you're going to have more referrals out to them. You're interested in seeing them grow as well. So that's the commonality. And it's not just growth, but it's a group of people that want to make sure that they treat people with dignity, respect, and take care of their needs. So now you have to kind of go back and, you know, the way that it should work is you should get one, identify one person that you feel very, very comfortable with. You share some common experiences, you like each other, and you come together and you talk about this value proposition. And they're like an advisory board. There's synergy, there's energy, there's commitment, and excitement. Okay? So you get the one, which now creates two. Let's just say that that person is a CPA, for example. And the two of you get together, brainstorm, and decide who is the second person that could be a part of this group. And then you get that person drafted. You all have the same common threads. That third person might be a lawyer. Might be a real estate broker who is well known in town.
Right.
So now you get the three of you, and you get together and say, well, who's that fourth person we can add to the group? And someone that you all must agree on that meets our stated criteria of a good person to fit. Now, a lot of these high-powered business associations use this technique to their advantage. And the time for you as a financial advisor to get into this game and leverage your technique, your supernova capabilities, is good. They're each given a folder. You have agendas for your monthly meetings. It's like you're running your own nonprofit organization, and the goal and the mission is to complement one another. When you call that attorney, you're saying, Joe, I've got somebody I want you to talk to, but, you know, I need you to give them a free consultation. Let's bring them in as a new client relationship. And you find out that the person also is in the market to get his personal real estate evaluated. They're thinking of moving, and you bring the real estate person in. So that's how you begin to work, and each month, you kick off the meeting. Everybody talks about, you know, what they're up to, what their needs are, any innovations, anything that they're trying to do. A circular came out on a new change in the tax law. It's important for my clients to understand what that means. You might even do a joint client appreciation event. But you set in motion the agendas for the mastermind group. Now, I might have mentioned to you that there was this young lady down in Texas. Her group grew to 24 people. She had referrals coming in several times a week. And that's basically how she built her business. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think next month the next session, we cover the VIPSA model, which is another technique and tactic. There are some people that have worked that model exclusively.
Okay. That's in the book, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a referral model.
Okay.
So that's what you do when you bring the idea to these individuals that you feel comfortable with. And you can even look it up on the internet. They've got all kinds of thoughts and ideas about how to run a successful mastermind group. Okay. All right. So, you know, if the mastermind group works well, there's not a reason where it couldn't grow to niche mastermind groups, where you develop a second one that's focused on another particular niche in the marketplace. Any questions on mastermind groups?
No, we're good.
Okay. Did I send you all early on an article I wrote on niche markets?
Yes.
Okay. So I would pull that out again because I still think it has a lot of relevance, especially in terms of what we're going through right now. But
okay.
What we're doing now is we're going to, you know, further clarify your niche markets. And along the lines of what you feel really comfortable with.
Okay.
So, have you developed a comfort level with a particular affinity group or niche market at this point?
I wouldn't say a particular one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have a few that we certainly have a lot of dealings with. I mean, like, gun collectors, for sure. I have
okay.
an extremely wide knowledge of that. So we, and I do a lot of events with those people. So
okay.
that's one of them. And that tends to also be with, you know, more of the farming
yeah.
group. So if it was if you were looking at a wider range of people, that would be where we're kind of at. Because
okay.
I know quite a bit about I know enough about the farming industry to be able to talk to the people about what they're doing.
But gun collectors is really where we are is a good place to start.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what you do with these groups is what are their pain points? What are some common threads that gun collectors, for example, have? You know, are they reading Field and Stream? Are they, you know, going out on particular outings? Are they appearing at particular shows?
Yeah.
You know, what allows you to go after them? What's their level of affluence? Are these people who are members of the NRA? Are they affluent? What walks of life do they come from? What trade journals are you reading so that you are an expert on that niche market?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
I mean, I'm running into these guys. There's a lot of gun meets around the area, some shooting events, you know, we're running into them a lot at, you know, they all belong to local hunting clubs, which I try to get to most of them. And,
okay.
You know, that's where I've run into a lot of these guys.
So that's kind of like your interest level. You're knowledgeable about it. So, and I've probably shared with you this before, but let's go over it again. So let's say that in my consulting and coaching practice, financial advisors are my niche market.
Yeah.
Which is broken down to those folks that are in the wirehouse firms, RIAs, private wealth, so on and so forth. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what I have to do is I've got to get familiar with what goes on in those markets. And so one of the ways that I keep up is I've got to read what you all are reading.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Advisor Hub that comes up to me daily.
Yep.
I've got RIA Biz, Investment News Daily. I've got Advisor Perspectives, Trust Advisor, you know, to name a few of the publications, Financial Planning Magazine online.
Well, I mean, if we were looking at gun owners in this area,
right,
we were going to kind of be on the same level of, you know, basic news that they're watching. I mean, you could read FieldStream, which maybe, you know, some of them do, and some guns and ammo magazines, stuff like that. But
right,
mostly you're going to catch 99% of what they're talking about on Fox News.
Okay, on where
it's funny it sounds, that's just the way it is. I mean, I go to a lot of these things with these guys, and I'm very close with them, and that's what, I mean, most of them are talking about is what they were talking about on Fox News the night before.
Right, okay. And so you've got to have a way of keeping up and reaching them. The other thing that I get is I get this thing called Bright Talk, which has a number of different webinar content for people in the financial services industry. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, make my information relevant. Now, one of the things I think we talked about in terms of establishing a niche market is looking at the healthcare provider industry, which is basically hospitals,
yep,
individuals that work for hospitals, individuals that service doctors, pharmaceutical reps, so on and so forth, as maybe being a potential growth niche market for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you do is you go in, what are they reading? See, what I would want to do is I'd want to clip an article, highlight a couple of sentences. Jerry, I thought you would be interested in hearing about this. You know, just things that help keep them up because they're really super busy, innovative, that sort of thing. So then you have to become kind of the expert in that market. Now, long time ago, you know, when you're in these communities, you're trying to figure out what you can do to grow the business. And one of the things that I did is I established a special unit to go after nonprofits and specifically hospitals in the northern New Jersey area. And this unit went after cash flow management, endowments, and those that had practices. And many of the doctors that work in hospitals also have private practices as well. That could be, to me, maybe one of the most important niche markets that you develop. And if you have one doctor, you know, you're constantly interviewing. Look, I'm trying to build my practice with people like you. How would you suggest I go about it? And he says, well, most of us, we take Wednesday off. We go play golf. Why don't I invite you for a round? or, you know, we like to hunt. Hey, look, you know, I go to a lot of, you know, shows in that regard. Have you heard about the latest blah, blah, blah?
Okay.
So what you need to do is create that as maybe one of your niches. Your gun collectors are an affinity group. A niche market is, you know, where you're targeting a market that can expand and grow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different than an affinity group of like-minded people. Okay.
Yep.
Are we kind of clear on that?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So, let's see. I want to cover and we spent a lot of time on the COIs and what you have to do to educate them. You know, kind of bring them into your practice, spend some time educating them on Supernova. So, do you feel that you're prepared to do that now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Is it safe to say, I'm not trying to force a niche market on you, but is it safe to say that, you know, you're going to go after these hospitals and doctors, healthcare industry?
I think certainly maybe doctors.
Okay.
The hospitals around here, like the nurses and stuff like that, aren't going to be really making enough money to really put anything away right now. And a lot
True.
Of them are included in their retirement plans at their work. You know, we have a doctor actually who's a prospect right now
mm-hmm.
that
okay.
is not coming over here.
Right.
Okay. Now, some of these endowments, I served on a couple of boards, have endowments of $100, $150 million, $80 million.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could certainly go after a $20 million piece.
I think we could certainly. If I was going to look at trying to find endowments, I would look more at the educational side of the area, what the
okay.
colleges would have.
We've got, yeah.
Just because Geisinger, which is the hospital that's employing everyone around here, endowment is certainly not managed by anyone in the local area.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so that's kind of the way to go. So we've got a couple of niche markets that we can go after. Now,
sure. I think yeah. just to ask real quick.
Yeah.
We also have a couple of historical societies.
Okay.
And you know, so I'm thinking that when you had, when you had Union and Taft Hartley accounts in the institutional world, they always want to say who else you work with that's like us. So, you know, there are a lot of historical societies that are around here that might be, because we already have, you know, two of them that are pretty prominent. That might be, you know, so we already got a little bit of a runway there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because you're already in the door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. How about the 90-day free look? Let's talk about what that is. And I've written a script, and we'll cover it more in our next session. But the 90-day free look is you've gotten a personal introduction. You like each other, and they haven't come over the fence yet. So you're going to make an offer to treat them as if they were a client for up to a period of 90 days so that they can see how you work. The monthly calls, the 12-4-2 kind of concept. And, you know, with a monthly agenda, the things that you've laid out, you're going to treat them as if they were a client. And that's what the 90-day free look is all about. In that whole 96-4-2-2-1 model. The social media component is primarily, first of all, before I run into the social media, do we understand how the 90-day free look would work, you know, based on what I've just told you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. You guys are quick studies.
Well, it's in, you know, I guess I'm cheating a little bit because I'm reading Multiplier. I'm in the second go around with Multiplier, and it's all in there. So,
hey, good. Yeah.
In fact, I've raised that with our COI downstairs.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty sizable client. Has said, here's what rather than, you know, we say, let's give a 90-day free look in the process. So we've already kind of talked a little bit about it.
Okay.
You know, good. So yeah, I it's a really good idea. But yeah, we're comfortable with that.
Okay. I discuss all of these things in my book too on Supernova Advisors. So good.
Right.
Then there's the social media network strategy. Are you all on LinkedIn at this point?
No.
I am, yes.
You're on LinkedIn. You should probably showcase the team on LinkedIn. I'm going to send you maybe a group of notes that give you 30-some-odd points. And I think if you use 10 of them, you know, that would be pretty good about your social network strategy and using LinkedIn. How many connections do you feel like you have on LinkedIn at this point?
308. Well, I know exactly because I had to submit, every year we have to submit it to compliance just so they can review our profile. And, you know, I happened to do that about an hour ago, so I know it's exactly 308.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good. So what we want to do is get to about 600-700. And, I want to be able to show you some techniques and strategies in order to do that. Okay. So I'm going to send you, I'm going to pull out your folder, and I'm going to send you, making a note here, I'm going to send you the LinkedIn strategies. Because they're not in any parts of any of the books. I'd recently done some research in this area, so I'm going to send you that.
Okay.
And that really are all of the elements that I wanted to cover, for today.
Okay.
So this is how we have to focus on, you know, building that business in the future. I'm going to also, in advance of our discussion, the next time we speak, I'm going to send you kind of a script on the VIPSA model. So those will be the two things that we will cover in our next session. Any questions whatsoever that you have in terms of where we are right now?
Nope.
No, we're all good, Curtis.
Yes.
Plug it away. Right.
Okay, well, I love it, and you guys keep doing the great job that you're doing with the program, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.
Okay, super.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Curtis. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
We'll see you.